This oral history project tells the story of the evolution of tolling procedures on the Sydney Harbour Bridge and was commissioned by the Roads and Traffic Authority of New South Wales in 2010. 11 oral history interviews were conducted for this project with former RTA tolling staff, engineers and managers. A special thanks to all those interviewed for their valuable contribution to the history of tolling on the Sydney Harbour Bridge. The opinions expressed in the oral history interviews are those of the individuals concerned and do not necessarily represent in whole or in part the position of the Roads and Traffic Authority of New South Wales. Since the early days of European settlement, one of Sydney's most beautiful assets, its harbour, gave rise to the question of how to connect the northern shores with the settlement's centre on the southern side of the harbour. By 1900, bridge engineering and technology had advanced to the point where it was possible to come up with a design for a bridge to span Sydney Harbour. In 1918, John Bradfield settled on a single arch bridge design, which was further worked up by Ralph Freeman of Dorman, Long and Company. Construction of the bridge took some years, and finally on Saturday the 19th of March 1932, the Sydney Harbour Bridge was declared open. In the first 24 hours of operation, 21,000 cars and 80,000 passengers made the historic crossing. Many ways of financing the project were considered, and in 1932 it was decided that a toll would be charged for crossings, which ranged from threepence for trikes, motorbikes and small horse-drawn vehicles. Heavy vehicles would pay 2 to 3 shillings, and passengers were charged individually. Ken Mackay, former manager, Sydney Harbour Bridge Toll, reflects on the toll fees in the early years.
There was always a toll on the Sydney Harbour Bridge from day one. And the day it was introduced, they introduced what I consider to be a complicated structure. The bridge, as we all know, opened in 1932. And from that day, they charged a maximum of 3 shillings, which 30 cents in today's currency, and the minimum toll was threepence. And that threepence was for the likes of a motorcycle. But on top of the toll charge according to the size of vehicle, there was also a charge for each adult passenger and each child passenger. So the adult would be charged threepence for every adult passenger and a penny for each child. Must have been interesting for the toll staff in those days to determine how many beings are inside this vehicle. And interestingly, there was even a toll charge of a penny a head for sheep and pigs. I don't know when they stopped allowing pigs across the bridge, but I do know that there's a fellow, he's passed away now, a chap called George Stidwell. He was my boss in the industrial section at one stage. And George came in to see me at the toll office in the early 1990s, maybe mid-1990s, and he said that he was appointed to the DMR as a junior toll collector, and he can recall that things were that quiet at night that the toll staff, if it wasn't real busy, would play cricket. So there you go. That was in those days, perhaps before the Second World War.
Brian Pearson, a former RTA bridge engineer, also has particular memories of toll charges and bridge crossings during the early 1930s.
Well, my earliest memory is crossing the bridge, not frequently, but periodically, in my uncle's motor car with my younger sister and brother and mother, just after the bridge was opened. At that time, the toll on the bridge was based on a head count. And my uncle carried a blanket in the back seat of the car so the three kiddies could get under it. And as a consequence, the head count for the travelling across the bridge was quite low. And I think at that time the toll was threepence a head, and the toll collector stood in the open under all weathers. So that was my earliest impression of the bridge. It was quite hilarious for us to be pushed under the blanket on each trip.
Peter Lardner-Smith, who was an electrical engineer with the DMR RTA for many years, has taken a keen interest in the history of tolling on the bridge and describes the situation for toll collectors in the first months of the bridge's operation.
For 6 months, toll collectors were collecting toll, standing on simple concrete raised curbs a few hundred millimetres above the road space and protected by a steel pipe rail. And in all weathers, they collected toll for those first 6 months. The toll would have been quite expensive when sort of rated in probably today's dollars. The toll collectors would collect money, and in exchange for the money, they would pass tickets out, a number of tickets. There was a sixpence ticket, there was a threepence ticket and penny tickets, and the toll collector would issue as many tickets at the end of the day. That ticket system was audited, and the numerical sequence of those incrementing numbers on all those tickets was the means by which the toll collector's business and his number of transactions was accounted for. That then had to be matched against how much money the toll collector lodged with his cash bag at the end of each day. After the first 6 months of open air collection, where the toll collectors had no canopy, no shelter whatsoever, a very simple wooden canopy and cabin structure was built for the three collectors in between the lanes 1 and 2, 3 and 4, and 5 and 6. And the collectors in between the other two lanes were still out in the open, but at least they had a roof over their head. But on a very windy day, on a rainy, windy day, they would have been just as drenched as they ever were. But the toll structure and that survived through to the end of the war from 32, probably to about 1946, when recognisable toll plazas were constructed, was a very simple structure. It had no design, or it didn't reflect what a toll plaza would need to look like. There were no protective prows to protect the occupants in cabins. So if a vehicle ran awry just ahead of the... they would clean right through the cabin and probably kill somebody. But apparently that never happened. On the canopy face, you had neon signs to indicate whether the lane was open or closed. And there was some nighttime lighting for safety protection of the building in itself. But otherwise, it was a very simple toll building it was only collecting toll at the six points. So the entire Harbour Bridge had one single collecting point, because in the Depression eras of 1932 and then through the war, when petrol was scarce, there was very little traffic. That all changed very dramatically after the end of the war, when the volume just ballooned, and it seemed that Sydney must have really taken off in boom times from 1946 onwards, because the number of vehicles just seemed to explode.
By 1949, traffic had increased so much that an additional six new toll lanes were added, bringing the total number of booths to 12. The toll booths were constructed around a timber frame, and safety glass was used for panelled windows, which allowed a 360-degree view out of the cabin. In 1951-52, 16 million vehicles used the bridge, and by 1958, the still burgeoning traffic meant that even more toll booths and lanes had to be installed.